The first full-time faculty member to win a Nobel Prize at UNC Chapel Hill died this week at the age of 91. Oliver Smithies was known for developing a gene targeting technique that contributed to the understanding of cystic fibrosis and other diseases. Kathleen Caron is a professor of and the chair of the Department of Cell Biology and Physiology at UNC Chapel Hill. She was a postdoctoral student under Dr. Smithies, and she joins us now. Kathleen Caron, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. It's an honor.
And I'm sorry for your loss. You were very close to Dr. Smithies.
I was. It was over 20 years ago that Oliver gave me the opportunity to train under him as an apprentice and a postdoc in his lab. And we have a tight-knit scientific family.
What was he working on then?
Oh, at the time, he was using these innovative techniques and tools that he developed to knock out genes in mice so that we could generate animals that had high blood pressure or heart disease. But of course, this methodology for which he won the Nobel Prize is now used broadly in every field of medicine.
It's this targeting approach. How long had he been working on that particular approach to these kinds of therapies?
Yeah, so it started about in the mid-80s, and the Nobel Prize was awarded to three gentlemen, Oliver, Mario Capecchi, and Martin Evans. And simultaneously, but yet independently, they all developed these tools in the mid-80s, and it was really in the late 80s that the first knockout mouse was generated. And then it was a few years later that I joined his lab.
As you say, initially the idea is to be able to target the genes so that the mouse will develop the disorder, and then we can study it, right?
Exactly. So there are many human diseases that are based in genetics. And so if we can have an animal model that recapitulates mammalian physiology, then we can study it and understand maybe how to treat it. But even what's more exciting is that so many genes that we don't know what they're doing. And so based on these techniques now, there's an international consortium of laboratories in the United States, Canada, Germany, the UK, and Japan that are working together to knock out every gene in the mouse genome. And since mice and humans have about 80% of our genes that are the same, it's a treasure trove of discovery for scientists.
So you take this gene, you don't know what it does, you say, well, let's pull it out and see what happens to the mouse, and now you've got a pretty good clue about what it did.
Exactly.
And also, obviously, the implications beyond that. So we like to study mice because they're not human, and then the next step is to find out what's going on with us and target our own genes to develop therapies and treatments.
That's right. That's the big discovery. Yeah.
So what was he like to work with? He has a reputation as being just a remarkable human being as well as a great scientist.
He was a gem, truly a brilliant man, one of the most brilliant people I've ever met. But despite that, the generosity and humility and humor was just wonderful. So because of that, he's touched on so many people and enabled science in so many different ways by influencing positively so many young people.
A hard worker, right? Yeah. 7 days a week, although perhaps it's because he didn't consider it work, but maybe you can shed some light on that.
Sure. So Oliver had three passions in life. His wife, Nobuyo Maeda, who is also a professor at UNC. Flying, he was an avid pilot. But then the third pleasure was his lab, and he was always in the lab. It was impossible to work more than Oliver. He was always there. You always knew where to find him, and he just really had a tremendous joy for scientific inquiry and doing an experiment every single
day.
Well,
that's what I was going to ask you. Did he consider it work? Because it sounds to me like it was such a passion that that's why he was there 7 days.
That's right. And, most of us in science, we don't consider it work. Yeah. It's an honor and a privilege to be in this profession because it's constantly asking new questions and discovering new things.
And the quintessential scientist, known well for his notebooks and his scrupulous note-taking. Right?
Absolutely. His notebooks tell a story. And if there's one thing about Oliver, he could tell a really great story. And you can flip through the notebooks, and sometimes those stories take years to develop, but you can flip through the notebooks that are now archived and available online and see where those aha moments were and where those big discoveries were made.
Would I have to be well-versed in, genetic cell biology to know what that story meant, or were there narratives kind of in the margins?
No, there were narratives. And if there's one thing that Oliver really taught me and I think has influenced my success in science, is that you have to tell a story and you have to do it with the right emphasis. Because if you don't have the right emphasis, as Oliver would say, then you miss your point. And really, the point of science is to take all of this complicated data and explain it, not to just our colleagues, but also to the public, so that everyone can appreciate the importance of scientific breakthroughs in biomedical research.
You know, I can see that in terms of developing sustained interest in the project that you're doing. If you're talking to funders or the public at large, which ultimately does affect funding, communicating that's important, right?
That's right.
But also, I would think, just as a scientist, knowing which piece of that data to follow, which to emphasize, for you to know which step is next, because you're just swimming in this data, right?
Mm-hmm. It's true, yeah. And so that's why, you know, spending 7 days of the week in the lab and trying out different avenues, and, you know, most of the time experiments fail.
Was it the kind of scientist who would translate and say, you know, sort of turn the data into a story in order to understand what it was he was looking at?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's the power of being a good storyteller and being so brilliant and creative at being able to take complex data and distill it into something that has impact and that conceptually advances science and medicine.
Well, we will miss him, but apparently his legacy and his work live on.
Yes, it does, very strongly.
Kathleen Carone, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Kathleen Carone is a professor and chair of the Department of Cell Biology and Physiology at UNC Chapel Hill and was a postdoctoral student under Nobel laureate Oliver Smithies, who died Tuesday at the age of 91. Just ahead, we preview an array of African-American theatrical works on stages around the Triangle this year. Stay with us on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.